Hey there, I wanted to take a brief moment and welcome you to the Focus Point Podcast. If this is one of the first episodes that you're hearing from us, please head over to our website, thepointoffocus.com, where you can find out some more information about who we are, what we're doing. You can also find other podcast episodes and blog posts there as well. That's thepointoffocus.com. I'm so glad that you decided to give one of our episodes a listen. I really hope that you will be blessed and encouraged through what you hear in this episode. I also encourage you to share this episode with your family and your friends. Once again, I just thank you for taking some time and listening to our episode. Now, let's dive in to today's episode. Well, today, very special episode, episode number 200. Super cool. I looked back and I realized I didn't even think about doing an episode 100 special. And I think some of that was because episode 100 probably came up around some of our rebranding stuff. Some of the earlier seasons of this podcast were a little shorter. And so I don't know exactly where episode 100 would have fallen, but I'm sure it had to do right around the time of COVID and all of that stuff. And there was a lot going on. As I said, we were kind of refiguring out kind of how we wanted to do this podcast. So anyway, with that said, I'm excited to be able to kind of share this little special word from God that I believe is really helped me. And it kind of just dawned on me recently. It wasn't something that I've been dwelling on for a long time, because originally this episode 200 was supposed to be the end of the In the End series that we just concluded last week. By the way, if you haven't had an opportunity to check that episode out, check those episodes out of that series, go ahead. They're in the archive over at our website. You can find all of those. They're also on Spotify. So anyway, it was originally supposed to be a part of that, but we kind of shortened that series by a week by condensing a couple of the topics, and it opened up this episode to be kind of out there and open. I could have done anything I wanted because next week was always the start date for our I've Got the Joy series as we start the book of Philippians, and I'm really excited for that. It'll be one of the first times we've kind of trekked through a book of the Bible on this podcast. We've gone through books of the Bible, but we've kind of done an overview kind of view of them, and we haven't really gone kind of section by section, verse by verse through them. And so that's what we're doing. About the closest that we've gotten in the past is the Last Night with Jesus series we did a couple weeks ago leading into Easter, where we looked at John 13 through 17. So I'm really excited to kind of just dive in, focus in on one book of the Bible for a good period of time. So I'm excited to do that. But as I've always said, by the way, if you have a copy of the Bible and you want to open it on up, go ahead. John chapter 11 is where we're going to be today. And we're just kind of going to sit in this story. And I've got a story of my own that we're going to share in just a minute. But I've often said that the Bible is one of those things that is alive and it's active, which means it breathes, and it's meant to correct us, and it's meant to change us and transform us, and all of those different things that it says in 2 Timothy 3:16. But the words is that it's alive and it's active. And I've said this before, I firmly believe this about the Bible, that the Bible speaks to us where we need it to speak to us. And it's one of those things that you read a verse today, it'll mean something different to you in 10 years. And yes, the Bible speaks through verses, it speaks through passages, it speaks through chapters, it speaks through the entirety of the Bible. And sometimes that causes an uproar because we're taking the Bible out of context. And really, I believe if all the Bible is God's inspired words, then you can read two words out of the Bible and God will tell you something. That's what that says to me. So that's the way we look at the Bible here. And this is another factor of that. I've never kind of looked at this story in this way because it's there, right? The undertones are there, but I've never deepened it a little bit more to see, okay, so why were they feeling that way? And so this episode is called God, What Are You Doing? And I know that we've all asked that question before. We've asked it, God, what's going on? Many different variants of the idea of God, what are you doing? And a couple years ago, and I've told this story a little bit before, but and it also spins into other things that's currently going on, right? But a couple years ago, when I first kind of started to ask this question, it was more of a positive approach to it than a negative way. And as we look at the story today in the Bible, we're going to kind of see it was more of a negative kind of way. And I've asked it negatively, as I'm going to kind of share with these couple stories. But a couple years ago, I lost my job. And if you've been there, you know, it's not the greatest thing in the world. It turned out to not be as bad as it could have been for me, because, you know, my wife and I, we had some money saved back. Yeah, granted, we would have loved to use that money for a lot of other things. And when you look back at it, it's kind of like, where would we be now if I hadn't lost my job? Which, as much money as we had in savings, we were able to kind of float a little bit. It wasn't like a job loss where you lose a job, you've got nothing to fall back on, and it's like this rat race to try and find a job before you lose your house. Or you put food on the table for the kids, all that kind of stuff. It wasn't like that in my situation because we had that money kind of saved up. But the situation occurs to me, it's like, well, where would we have been now had I not lost that job? What would be going on? What would be different? You know, and you can play the what if games all you want to, and it just kind of gets you in this endless loop, right? But in that time, within a few weeks of losing that job and the reality of a lot of different things, I asked God, what are you doing? But it wasn't in the way that you're thinking. It was God, like, what are you doing? What are you trying to show me? What's going to happen out of this time? And eventually, you know, money started getting a little tight and things kind of changed. And I eventually had to go back to work. And that wasn't the best thing, but it was like, okay, so God, what are you doing? Like, what are we doing with this new job that I'm doing? Which is about as close to ministry as I've been in many years. Because it's helping people do what they need to do and helping them get to where they need to go. And it's super cool and I enjoy it probably better than any one of my jobs that I've had in the last year. Especially the one that I had, that I lost, right? So it's almost kind of like God was saying, like, that's what I'm doing. And now even more recently, I've kind of started asking the question again. But let's dive into John chapter 11 before I kind of get into why I'm asking that question. And so John chapter 11 is a familiar story if you're familiar with the story of Lazarus. If you're familiar with the Bible, like, it's one of those stories that kind of comes up. If you know it's in John chapter 11, like, it's kind of one of those very familiar stories. And it involves Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. And they call out to Jesus, hey, come, because your friend Lazarus is sick. Okay, so there's a friendship here. And Lazarus' sickness, Jesus is like, okay, well, we'll go in a couple days. So it's kind of like it was already a couple day trip anyway, right? So it wasn't like this was one of those things. So he waited a couple. The Bible says he waited 2 days and then he went for a 2 day walk, right? So it's like, well, why would Jesus do that, right? And as you know, he gets there and we're going to pick it up in verse 30. And as I've said, this story, I'm just kind of nutshelling this, like, in a small nutshell, this story. This is also where we get the I am statement, I am the resurrection and life. But we are going to dive into this story. And we're going to actually look at Martha's response. Mary's response is condensed back here, where she also asks, where she asks him, right there, she's, sorry, having trouble finding it, but she asks him the question that her sister asked, right? And she says, you know, hey, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. So then Martha hears, and this is where we're going to pick up the story. Martha hears that Jesus is here. And it says here in verse 30, it says, Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place, I'm sorry, where Martha met him. So Mary's coming to meet him. It's, these names get kind of twisted up in the stories, and it's okay. I read the verse earlier while I was talking so I could give you the name, and it was actually the wrong way. That's okay, though. So verse 30 again, it says, Jesus stayed outside the village at a place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. He says, where have you put him? He asked them. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. Then all the people standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? So right there, we hear in a way, shape, or form, almost like Mary runs up to Jesus. Mary and Martha both, in some way, said the same thing and run up to him and was almost like, what are you doing? It's like, God, what are you doing? If you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. This doesn't make any sense as to why you weren't here. And then it's also seen in the crowd, right? Some people say, see how much they loved him. Now, see, this is one of the things that we could spend a couple episodes talking about, just this story. But here, it's talking about Jesus' compassion, right? Jesus' humanity that sometimes gets bulldozed over as we go through the Gospels. Oh, well, he knew Lazarus was going to die, and he knew Lazarus was going to get raised from the dead because he was going to be the one to do it. Jesus knew that. But here, when you bleed it down and you just boil it right down to this, it says Jesus wept. That's not God Jesus, right? That's man Jesus. That's Jesus crying with people who are hurting. That is amazing to see, and that we just run right over. But that's what's happening here. Okay, and so these are asking God, what are you doing? Like, hey, what's going on? And I know it's not God in this story, but it's the same idea. This wasn't just, hey, what's going, like, this was probably seated in some kind of angry response to Jesus. Hey, you didn't come when we called. Not that they're talking to God. They're just talking to their friend. Hey, you didn't come when we called. What's up with that? What are you doing? You just dawdled? You know, and even the crowd has a twofold response that's there, right? The crowd also says, couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? So it's there too. It's like, what are you doing? And it's almost like this trickles in to our life, right? These moments where we thought Jesus was going to come through, where we thought God was going to be there for us, where we thought this moment was going to be our moment, right? Like, I didn't really know, back to my first story, like, I didn't know what God had for me, because little did I know that I was going to lose this job, right? But I had already had plans to end my tenure at that job at the end of the year. due to lots of things that were going on, due to just financially and all of that. But it was just, it happened sooner. And so, like, I still look back and it's like, well, how much more money could we have saved? What could be done in all of this? And I'm keeping it a big announcement at this moment. It's a big announcement as you may be listening to this years later. But as this is being recorded, I'm keeping a big announcement quiet, which is where my second story comes in. Like, would it have accelerated? If I would have stayed at that job, could I have made the decision, and could it have worked out, and what could have happened, and all of these different kinds of things, right? But when I look at where I'm going in this heartbeat that I have, and like I said, I'm not announcing it right now, but it's there, and now I've got knee problems again. When I lost my job, it allowed me to take some rest and be able to take care of some health things. And so, especially involving my legs. And so one of those things was a knee surgery that came right about the time I had to start working again. It was still a little early. We were kind of trying to get ahead of it, because that's the way you kind of want to do things, right? You like, you know, something's coming. It's like, okay, well, let's get our foot in the door somewhere and just kind of get rolling. And that kind of came too in this understanding of God, what are you doing? Right? Because this person that I used to work with at the other place that I got fired from randomly messaged me out of the blue sky, right? And was like, hey, I've got a job for you if you want it, kind of thing. It's like, what, God, what are you doing? What are you trying to tell me that I don't know yet? Right? What's going on, God? And it also was right before I started the job, like right as I was scheduling a future knee surgery and all of this kind of stuff. And so that went off good and everything like that. And God just worked it out to where there was some things that came up, but I didn't know what it was at the time. Why this random person, like, I mean, we worked with each other, but it wasn't like we were office mates and, like, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like we worked closely with each other, but we worked enough with each other where we knew each other and she was thought of me. That God can only do that. Whether the other person that you're dealing with believes in God or not, God is the only one that can do something like that. Anyway, so I got that and it kind of steamrolled into this, this job that I have now. When I say steamrolled, it just kind of like the year just kind of went by, and all of a sudden now I'm at the end of that job, right? And that job is, they tell me, oh, well, I'm getting phased out. Like, they don't need me anymore. And at that point, like, I even told my wife, I was kind of like, what am I doing to these people? Like, I had a job for 7 years at that hospital that I worked at, doing the same job. I had a job, right? And I lost that one. And now this one, I'm not technically losing because of whatever, but I'm losing it because they're phasing it out. You know, I even asked her, it's like, what am I doing to these people? Like, is it me? Like, why am I being drugged through this stuff, right? And also, God, what are you doing? It keeps coming up, right? But then it turned out that God was actually doing something, right? He lined me up with this place that I work now and the job that I do now. And it's almost like it's right where God, like, wants me to be. This compassion that he has, right? That we see in this story. When he weeps with Mary and Martha and the surrounding possible family members or whatever's there, right? Because it says other people. John's not specific, so it could have just been a group of people that knew the family. It could be family. It could be whatever, you know. But it says, see how much they loved him. And one of the ways that we show Jesus is by just loving on people, right? So what is it, right, that Jesus is doing here? When we say, God, God, what are you doing? Well, it says here, John 38, Jesus, still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled at its entrance. Does that sound familiar? Roll the stone aside, Jesus said. But Martha, Lazarus' sister, protested, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Jesus looked up to heaven and he said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. And there's something right there. Like I said, we could talk about a lot of stuff in this story. But I said it aloud for the sake of those people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, bound to his hands and his feet in grave clothes. His face was wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. This is what Jesus was doing. He had planned resurrection, right? Then when somebody shout about that, he had planned resurrection for Lazarus, planned resurrection for anybody watching that, planned resurrection for Mary and Martha. That's what it was, because now they were resurrected with Lazarus, because now they were like, he rose him from the dead. And he did this so that we would believe. And there's the whole, like I said, a whole deep meaning and all of that. But Jesus had a plan all along. So when we are sitting and we're asking God, God, what are you doing? As I said, I approached my job loss, right, with God, what are you doing? What are you trying to show me, right? With a different kind of heart posture that I approached it with the second technical job loss. But I approached that one with, God, now what are you doing? Is it me? Why are we doing this? But he had, in a way, resurrection for me. Because now I've got this job, because I've always had a heart for ministry. I don't know if you can tell that by listening to these episodes, but I've always had a heart for ministry. I volunteered at my church with the fourth and fifth graders for 15 years now. And I've been so blessed by that. And now, like, I'm finally doing a job that I feel is like a ministry, where I can help people a little bit. Because sometimes, you know, I mean, I work in a nursing home, and sometimes people just literally get put there and family doesn't come see them. Family doesn't even try to be helpful in their care. You know, sometimes it may just be because, you know, it's a family dynamic that is, you know, they're working and they need their family member there to be cared for because they can't provide that care that they need. And that's gotta be hard, right? It's almost like, God, what are you doing? Like, I have to put my parent in a home because I can't do it all. And that's got to be like a shattering environment to be in, right? But these people, though, still have to go places, still have to do things. And that's where I get to come in and help them do that. And sometimes, like I said, sometimes people just get put there and they've got no family, no friends that come see them, and it's just a heartbreaking thing. But I get to be, not just because I take them places, but because I also see them, and I get to say, hey, how are ya? You know, you just get to talk to them. You get to be that friend, right? You get to be that compassion and that kindness to them that they may not normally experience. So, but now, as I've told you all of this, the way that this episode developed, as I was thinking about, like I said, this is a new thought. So it kind of came all in at the right time, right? This is a new thought. But now, as I'm thinking about all of this and all of this, now it's recently this thought came up, because recently in the same knee that I had trouble with a couple years ago, I'm having trouble with it again. And it seems like everything is on the tracks, right? It seems like everything is going to go right. They called out to Jesus in John chapter 11. Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus, right? Jesus is coming. It's going to be okay, right? They've seen him heal the blind man, right? They've seen him do all these different things. Jesus is coming. This is going to be fine. And then Jesus doesn't come. And the wind gets, and the air just gets sucked out, right? And they feel like they had everything on the go, right? They feel like they had it all right there because they called out to Jesus. And then it all got derailed because Jesus doesn't come and Lazarus dies anyway. And so, like, in this moment in my life, I feel like everything is on the tracks, right? Everything is going good. And I'm starting to have this knee trouble again. And it's come at a certain point where it's like, God, what are you doing? I don't have time for another knee surgery. You've given me this passion, this new thing, right? That you want me to do, and I believe that you want me to do it. And it's there. It's right there. It's almost time, and everything seems to be lining up. And it's like, but you're going to have another knee surgery. I don't know that for a fact, but I believe that's the way it's heading, with the way the symptoms of the knee are the same they were 2 years ago. It's almost like, God, what are you doing? Why? Why? Am I off? Like, it makes you start to wonder, am I off course? Is what you've revealed to me not quite exactly true? Or is it just not time yet and I'm getting mad over nothing? Right? Because, I mean, it appears in this story that they are mad about nothing, right? Because Jesus walks Lazarus out of the grave. You know, and sometimes when we ask God, what are you doing? 2 days later, we get an answer and it's kind of like, sorry. But seriously, though, like, it's very rare that I get to be real and open. And if this episode feels like it's kind of like a train wreck almost, it's because I didn't really prepare like I normally do. I prepared, but this isn't like the details like the last series that we did or the next series we're gonna do. This was what I'm gonna call just like a raw episode, where I'm reading the text and I'm talking about different things in my life, where I've asked this question, God, what are you doing? And just letting the episode flow. If it feels like it's just jointed, it's because it is. It's because it's being real. Because I don't know if you've been in any of these situations where you're just asking God, what are you doing? And you're asking it because you want to see what God is going to do. Or if you're asking God, what are you doing because you don't understand? Or if you're asking God, what are you doing because things just seem like they're going, and then it's just like, why this now? Why that now? God, what are you doing? But we see on the other side of their question, God, what are you doing? There was resurrection. There was change. There was new life. On the other side of their problem, Jesus had a plan. And that is where the question comes in. God, what are you doing? It's because God has a plan. And we don't get to see it. That's just what it is. God has a plan and we don't get to see it. The term, it's above our pay grade. Yeah, we don't get to see it. And the reason why we ask the question, God, what are you doing? It's because we don't get to see what God is doing. And then sometimes, and there's stories in the Bible where you're looking one way, God, what are you doing? And you're missing what he's doing over here. And, you know, they could have been looking. They could have been mad. They could have left the tomb of Lazarus, right? And then they would have missed what God was doing. They could have missed what God was getting ready to do. So I encourage you with this. We can ask God, what are you doing? If we think it's going to scare God, probably not. God already knows how many times in your life you're going to come to him with a whole bunch of problems. God already knows what problems they are. God already knows what he's doing about those problems. God already knows what you're going to say when you get there, when you scream out to him, right? And that's just saying that right now. I just thought about it. It's Moses and the Red Sea. That's exactly what it is. Israel saw the problem, right? And it's like, God, what are you doing? You brought us out here to die? We could have just stayed in Egypt. But they were babbling and complaining at Moses about it. And all the while, God was parting the Red Sea. And I wonder how many of them might have missed it right away. Until people started to see it. And they're like, hey, wait a minute. Look, look. Right? Resurrection was there for them. Right? New life was there for them when that sea parted. And so, when I see this, I encourage, we can ask these questions. Because sometimes people will think that it's weak. Right? Ugh, we can't ask those questions because, well, all this, God will get mad, or this, that, and the other thing, or God's got more problems to handle than mine, or whatever it is, whatever we're making up. No, God isn't scared when you yell at him. David did it. Moses did it. Joshua, I'm sure, did it. Daniel did it. I'm sure anybody in the Bible, I'm sure Paul did it. I'm sure his disciples did it. It's not recorded in the Bible, but we're dealing with human people. Okay? Some of this stuff has got to be understood. If we act a certain way and we're all created the same way, that we are all kind of together with a lot of this stuff. And the emotions that we feel, I'm sure the disciples felt. Jesus felt them. It says here a couple different times that Jesus was angry. And so when we think about all of this, God's not afraid of us to yell out to him, to yell at him, to shake our fist at him. Because some of the times, that's what we need to do to get it all out of our system. Have you ever heard of venting? Sometimes we vent to our wife. Sometimes we vent to our friends. Sometimes we vent to a sibling. Sometimes we vent to the guy at Walmart who asks us how we're doing. Have you ever been in that? It's probably one of the most scariest questions ever, right? When you walk up to somebody and be like, hey, how are you? And they turn and you could be like, they could say good. Or they could be like, well, you know what? And they just start talking. It's like, oh, well, alrighty. Have you ever heard of that? Well, we can do it with God too. Because then what that does, they ask the question, right? God, what are you doing? If you were just here, you wouldn't have died. It cleared them up to see what he was going to do. When we get it all off our chest, it opens us up to see what God might do. Oh, man, God just might do exactly what you're doing right in front of your eyes. God just might do something really, really miraculous. I don't know what you're facing when you listen to stuff like this. And sometimes it can be pegged that church people or religious leaders or religious people or whatever can miss the mark on these kind of things. You just don't understand my thing. You don't understand what's going on. You don't understand my pain. You don't understand what I've been through. No, but God does. God does. God is right here in this text too. Jesus saw them. Jesus knew what he was walking into. Not just because he was God, but because he knew Lazarus had died. Because they told him. He could feel the emotion. Because Jesus wept with them. Jesus weeps with us. Jesus walks with us. Jesus is there with us. And he's ready to help. I can't stress it enough. Because, yeah, there's certain other stories that I haven't told where it's just like, God, what are you doing? I've told them over the course of this podcast, but I've not dove into them in this episode. you know, but when you're dealing with a job loss or the death of a loved one, or that, once again, that health problem that just doesn't seem like it's ever going to get fixed and the doctors just don't know what they're doing. It feels that way. And it's like you shake your hand at God. It's like, God, I'm praying. And I know there's other people that are praying about it. God, what are you doing? Come on. I know there's people like that. And I know there's people that are on the cusp of dealing with the divorce and that all of this, these different things that happen that can cause us to ask, what are you doing? But I can tell you what God is doing. God's got a plan for each and every one of us. But God doesn't say that life with Him is going to be easy. And you have to go through hard things. And if that's the final thing that I can say about John chapter 11, is they were friends with Jesus. But that didn't exempt them from going through the death of a loved one. It didn't exempt them from going through hard things. Because sometimes we get that mixed up. Well, if God is like those people said, it's here in the text. Verse 37, He healed a blind man. Couldn't He have kept Lazarus from dying? God has done all of these things for all of these different people, right? Past, present, and future. But yet, where is He for me? Why hasn't He done it for me yet? God has done all of these things, and He can't heal me? It's real, isn't it? Oh, man, it is. I can feel how real it is. Probably because I feel that emotion in myself. It may not be just an ongoing, constant thing. It may not be cancer. It may not be, but it's my knee, right? That may seem small to a lot of people. Yo, really, your knee is the worst thing you got to worry about? No, but it's like, God, why can't you just fix my knee so I don't have to worry about another knee surgery, possible knee replacement? Why can't you just make it better so I can walk up and down the stairs without it hurting? What? Why can't you just fix it? Why can't you just fix my wife with all these health problems, God? Why can't you do it? What are you doing? It's so real. But you know what? Resurrection is real too. Healing is real. Seeing what God's going to do on the other side is real. But sometimes we got to go through this stuff. And I think that's a lot of one of the biggest things that people have trouble with God with. Their biggest problem with God is, well, it's supposed to be, I'm following Him and I'm doing what He wants and I'm seeing all of this, but He's not doing it for me. It's amazing to think that, but, you know, I told the group of kids at my church this. It's real, but God, just because we follow Him, doesn't mean that our life just gets to be easy. And it gets to be, it doesn't mean that we're exempt from all of these things. Jesus tells us in John 16 that in this world you will have trouble. You will have trouble. But He says, take heart, because He's overcome it. Right? Not just in that moment, not just what was going to happen on Easter, but He's overcome the world, right? You read Revelation, it says at the end of it that He's going to come, He's going to be done. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, no more tears, crying, pain, sorrow, none of it. And that's what's going to happen in the future when Jesus takes over. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. But Jesus is there with us. If all you can take out of here, verse 34 to 37. Verse 34 and 35 to be exact. Then Jesus wept. Anytime you're weeping, anytime you've got pain, anytime you've got sorrow, anytime you've got sadness, no matter how mad you are, no matter how much you're yelling at God, Jesus, whoever it is that you're yelling at, He's there, though, and He's He's crying with you. He's feeling that sorrow with you. And it may be hard to believe, but it's real. It says so right there in the Bible. That the Bible tells us that Jesus knows what we feel like. Jesus knows the pain that we experience. So I encourage you, just ask God, what are you doing? And if you have to, just in this, giving both barrels. So you can clear your chest and you can clear your heart. And maybe start to see what God could do in those moments, in those situations, at that time. Because I don't know what's coming for me. And maybe that's some of the things. We can't control it. We don't have God's plan. We don't get to see it. I don't know what God's got planned for my knee. I could be hyping it all up and it could be absolutely nothing. But I don't think so because of the way that it's acting. And you know what, though? Me, even just doing this episode, has released some things off my chest. Because, as I said, this is raw and it's real. The things that I've said are what was on my mind when they came up. God's not afraid. Don't be afraid to call out to God, because it says that God hears you. It said in Exodus, we did this last year, but it says in Exodus that in Exodus 3 that God says to Moses, he says, I have heard the oppression of my people. I have heard the cries of my people. And it's time that I do something about it. Jesus hears our cries and he'll do something about it. But the way that he's going to do it is his own. You got to remember that. The way he's going to handle our problems and what we bring to him, he's going to handle it his way. And it may not be the way we're asking for it. It may not be the way that we see it. We may still not even understand it. But God will do it. Jesus will do it. If he did it for Lazarus, he'll do it for us. If he did it for the Israelites, if he did it for all these different people, if he did it for that blind man that he healed, if he did it for that lame man that he said to get up and walk, he'll do it for us. He'll do it for us. Jesus is close to the brokenhearted. And those crushed in spirit. That's Psalm 34:18. He's there with you. I'm going to end the episode right there. God is there with us. We can ask him, what are you doing? But also know that there's probably some restoration. There's some rescue. There's some resurrection on the other side of that question. God's not afraid of the question. God is there with us, and he's gonna help us. So I'll see you next week with the start of I've Got the Joy.